George Jeffries, 36. George Jeffries woke up in Doonside at the Chang Lai Yuan Chinese Garden. George Jeffries woke up in Doonside at the Chang Lai Yuan Chinese Garden of Friendship. He was on the meditatively placed large stones next to a broad and brilliant waterfall. Confucius and the Duke of Zhou had been dozing beside him, courteously agreeing to meet there, close to where George and Claire and Corbin lived at Claire's mother's house in Mount Druitt. Claire and Corbin were playing chasings on a bridge nearby, which was in daylight white as bone, but now the moon made into ancient gold, and the shadows from their figures multifold. The arches of the bridge reflected in pleating water formed ovals like Chinese spring eggs. Claire and Corbin's laughter sprang wild as thrown coins at the ripples near George's feet. He said, in this night that bridge is as gold as Kutuzov's, allowing the enemy to retreat, just as Sun Tzu recommended too. And after all the fuss about Taiwan, it seems China may let it settle down a while, patient, despite all the five-eye provocations. Claire heard and called to them, but there is a difference between allowing your enemy to withdraw, as Sun Tzu said, never engage with them when they are going downhill, and another to withdraw and leave your allies from a position you have chosen not to defend, like the Russians in Kharkov, leaving the Azov to butcher what was left. The Duke took up the military topic as Confucius admired the western suburbs' night, the etched gums surrounding the pagodas with the incongruity of certain lovelinesses, although he remained a little puzzled by the palm trees. Much of the wood was painted profound Chinese red with its dark brown tone, too rich for blood. When you are stretched thin, said the Duke, you must choose what you will reinforce, what not, and if your enemy expands suddenly after a series of defeats, you must let it exhaust itself with its own new power. That is the wisdom of winter. The Azovs have nowhere to go but Russia or down into the Don, where we are strong. George noted Joe said we about the Russians. Claire came and sat with them on the steep stones. Corbin was singing songs to sleepy ducks. Claire wore deep blue as Chinese indigo, darker than the voodoo Asia she had worn once in flooded New Orleans when they had met the master of the crossroads, who then regarded George Bush Jr. as an epitome of evil. Now would it be Newland and the Kagans? Her hand brushed George's knee and thrilled him, although communicating as much possession as seduction. The ducks began to croon brutally back to Corbin. Confucius smiled suddenly at Claire. It is the revenge the Azovs take that will defeat them, just as the West's attempt to dismember by sanctions now rebound. Wizening winter, but her uneasy soul was filled again with victims tied to lynching lampposts. She said, even if some were helped escape to Russia, some others trusted and are dead or used for propaganda. Confucius said, it is a paradox. If you fight those who act with evil, they will worsen sometimes, even the more so if you fight with strategy. George said, Russia and China's war is not only with Azovs, but the petrodollar, which will retreat into a quiet corner. It must not fall too fast. The waterfall was built to descend starrily, but at an even pace. Claire thought the Duke, George, and Confucius all seemed the same age now. Weariness in them has reabsorbed to fluid sinew. One of the ducks had led Corbin to its nest in a lee of bracken. He knelt astounded to admire the new eggs, as lustrous as the bridge's rounded half-circles now perfected by the water.